I got a bunch of emails this morning because that show, last week's News Tonight, aired last night. And so I haven't seen it yet, but I got interviews, email from all over the place wondering if we knew about it. So I wrote back and said, the researchers spent 2 days here. We suggested the ministry outline the approach and furnish the footage. So anyway, it's available online. I don't know where, but if he did what he usually does, it's a rip-roaring program.
Did you say he was part of the John Daly show, or he worked?
No.
Worked for him?
Yeah, he initially, one time he worked for Comedy Central.
Okay.
But he, his name is John Oliver. He's from Britain. He is something else. He makes those other guys look tame.
Very dry.
Well, he's very dry and very...
He explores.
All right, Luke 18, verse 22. Well, let's just, we have to start in 18 just to, I'll just read through it. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus, and this is where we're studying, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he had heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" So we talked about the people in our community from the standpoint of the world are rich. Does that mean that everybody has to sell all they have to be a disciple? Then that's the question we're going to take a look at this morning. Let's go first to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, I think. Do what? Yeah. Let's start in verse 1 Timothy was written about 4 or 5 months before his death, Paul's death, or he was beheaded. It was written about 2 years before 2 Timothy was. And both of them are instructions to Timothy as a disciple, on reminding him what he has been taught. So, let's start in verse 11. "But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our presence, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. He alone hath immortality, is what that says, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, the word communicate there, we're going to look at it for a minute, because it's koinonia, or a verb form of koinonia, and it means, that's fellowship, true Christianity, true love. And part of that is to communicate, and here it means you live up to communicating when you meet the needs of the poor in your community. If you are rich, you meet the needs of the poor, you help meet it, without sitting in judgment. So, again, many or most, I should talk to this, the big group, because that's where all the riches are. But do you understand what it means? That's what communicate means, and it's fascinating to me that the root word for communicate, a koinonia, is a form of what true fellowship is. You can't have fellowship without communicating. Okay? Let's look at Hebrews 13.
What was the number you just read?
What?
I didn't get the number.
The specific verse is 1 Timothy 6:18. But we read from verse 11 through 18. Okay. All right, now. Where did I say go? Hebrews 13. Let's start in verse one. Pardon?
Okay.
Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body, in that body that's doing all that. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation or manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or manner of life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereby they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Again, communicate here is koinonia. To communicate means to distribute your riches, if you will, to those in need. But do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, again, communicate. So, obviously, every disciple doesn't have to sell all he has. But in not doing, you are willing to communicate with those in need in the body. Everybody understand? Now, in verse 5, I want to spend just a minute.
Holy, when you're saying communicate, would that mean?
That has nothing to do with talk. No, I mean, this, again, forget the word communicate as it means doing something or talking. Communicate herein means it's the word koinonia, which means fellowship. And so it's you when it's true fellowship, you prefer the needs of some, I mean, you prefer the welfare of someone else more than you do your own. That's what communicate means. And herein it means willing to share excess funds that you have to meet the needs of somebody else.
I was thinking of interaction, color.
Well, it's again, that's fine, but that's not what this means. But I want to talk now about this be content. In verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. You're free to, I wrote this down a long time ago, but it means, to content means to be free from care because of an inward certainty of everything and this permanent state we have of grace in God. It's this contentment is, it's another fruit of the mercy seat. And contentment has to have as its predicate that the evil one has stopped charging you. Now that's all your mind does. You think it's your friend, and then pretty soon, and you get, okay, I can get this and this. But then when it happens, you'll be, what happens? This evil one then uses that as an instrument to accuse you. And so you constantly live in that accusations. And that's why this whole thing of the use of the mind has got to go. But it can't go until you're tired of it. Now, therefore, what this word contentment means, it's a permanent state of being that comes from being centered on the mercy seat and having you see through everything in time and space. So contentment is a grace of God, but it's positional. Everybody can be content every once in a while. But this contentment means content because of the state of being that you're in and the location of sphere that you are at. It's not dependent on any external circumstances, including severe pain. It doesn't make any sense that somebody, I would never in my life have believed that I could be content in severe pain. But I am. It happened. It happened yesterday.
Or lack of.
What?
Or lack of.
Lack of. Well, that's easy to be content with lack of pain. It's only tested when it's to be content when. But the other thing here is you might. Let's verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. In other words, the sin offering and the trespass offering were outside the camp. Now, let us go therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You bear his reproach by the identity of who you are. You bear his reproach by communicating, not just this, I'm talking verbally now, communicating what you have given your life for. That's what it means to bear his reproach outside the camp. And I promise you, when those outside the camp are doing everything. Well, anyway, you know what I mean. Anybody's response?
So you said communicating, taking care of the poor outside the camp.
No, they're two different related. You don't take care of the poor outside the camp. You do come. I mean, you may work. You may very well. The first century church gave 40% of their budget to the poor outside the camp. But that's not what this is talking about. You bear his reproach outside the camp. That's talking about letting everybody in your world know what you think or what you say you believe. The vanity and fruitlessness of all human effort. The death that all the human race died on the cross. I mean, all these things that we take for granted, that you are the instead of Christ. They are the instead of Christ. Try communicating that to them. But you have to. That's the only way you'll bear his reproach outside the camp. That's the only way you'll be publicly identified with what you believe. All right, that's enough of that. Let's go to Philippians 4. Start in verse 4. Everybody there? Rejoice in the world and the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, that's a terrible, it should be, let your abandonment be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the only way that you can think on all those things is by your mind. It's all about Jesus Christ. You're putting to the test to see if what you think about other things meets this standard. That's the way you come to the end of your mind. Is that okay? Anyway, that's not what we're studying. those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now, what does it mean to communicate here? First of all, they sent him money, that's one thing, which you'll read later. But mostly, they communicated with his affliction by praying for him. That, and in that prayer, to communicate with his affliction, it means that you pray that you would be taken, that you would take on that pain or that suffering instead of Paul. That's what communicate means here in prayer. We saw earlier what it meant in finance. But it's all koinonia, the basis of what true fellowship is. Fellowship isn't sitting around talking about Jesus. The pagans can do that. Fellowship is this complete openness and oneness where there's nothing hidden, nothing. It's as rare as hen's teeth in the universe. It's what true fellowship is. Because we think we have a fellowship, we got a. This would drive me nuts when I was looking for churches. Everybody would, after the service, they had a fellowship hall in several of the churches I went to. And so you'd go in there and fellowship. You sit around and talk, or you eat donuts together or something. But everybody in there is acting. They've got on their Sunday best. They're keeping their kids from making or embarrassing them. They're acting like their marriage is wonderful. So that's not fellowship. Fellowship is the rawness and the joy, the suffering with. Somebody once defined it, the only definition of a church is if one suffers, all suffer. And if one rejoices, all rejoice. I think that was me that defined it that way, but that's all right. All right, let's go to Galatians 6. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man thinketh of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What that's saying is, you're supposed to give me all your money. That's what it says right there. No, it doesn't. But at least we talked about this, and this thing about the appreciation. You're not esteeming somebody, but it's the appreciation for all the study, etc. So that's what that means. That's another meaning of communicate. So there's a oneness in it. There's not any elevation. Amen? I remember, this is telling stories, but I remember a long time ago, Gary said he wished he knew the Bible as well as I did. And it bothered me. I don't even remember why it bothered me. But we talked about it, I remember, many times, but I don't remember what the issue was. But it just didn't seem right. Now you probably know it better than I do. I don't know, but...
It's not the issue.
Huh? That's not the issue, right.
The issue is to know him better.
Right.
Not you, but...
No, I know.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see if we got one more. We went to Galatians, Philippians, Timothy, and Hebrew. No, that's all we communicate. And this is... The reason we studied this is because the previous... Scripture said, you lack us this one thing, go sell all you have and give to the poor. If you're not going to sell all you have and give to the poor, you at least must be ready to communicate with people in need in the community, okay? Gary's done it many times.
Yeah.
He's given me $100 or $200 here and there, and it's wonderful, because I didn't have any money. Yeah, you must have been drunk. Anyway, so I just wanted to put selling all you have in context to these verses so that you don't use one to justify another and one to condemn another, but you understand, beginning to understand what true fellowship, koinonia, is. Amen? John? No thoughts come up? Benny? Any response to any of this?
Every time I play the NASB, it says share instead of communicate. I don't know. That was just something I kept noticing.
Well, but the point, it doesn't matter what translation it is. The point is, the original word is koinonia, which is the true meaning of what fellowship is. So that sharing is part of it, but it's not... All right.
Ultimately, it's like living in the moment. Ultimately, it's the same. It's related to the scripture about
be careful for nothing.
Be careful for nothing. It's about
take no thought.
In the moment and take no thought and just live simply. And
but that, my point is, you can't. This isn't telling you something to do. It's something that you will do if you're hearing right. If you haven't heard, if you're not doing it, then you say, Father, forgive me. Not to try to do it, but. That's what I mean. You understand? We are establishing what is, not how to do what. The only thing, if you're not doing it, it's repentance is the only thing, is the only response. Not that you're going to try to do it.
I think I have a scripture that satisfies me in this understanding of Paul. He ran into the guy at the gate and couldn't walk or whatever. He said, "Silver and gold have I none."
That was Peter and Paul. I mean, Peter and John.
Yeah, and he communicated with the guy. He went past everything, met his need with what he had to give, which was what the guy needed.
Right.
And yeah, that was communication.
Right.
That's a good one.
So yeah.
You give what you have, but
yeah.
They had silver and gold, have I not? All right. Take it, big guy.